the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the entire program today, because we have some beautiful Christian music for you, and we are winding down this week's installments in our study of Bible doctrine, as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. Today, continuing the discussion of the doctrine of salvation. In fact, this subtopic will continue throughout May, Monday through Friday. So tune in each and every time you can. And just before the music, I want to remind you that we are winding down our gift offer R, containing two books and two CDs with sermons preached by Dr. Green before a live audience. You don't want to miss this. Listen after the music and the message for more. But right now, we're going to hear two beautiful songs and then Dr. Green.
Power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all.
Thank you. Here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Direct us, O Lord, as we study today in Jesus' name. Amen. We are studying salvation according to the Bible. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord, Psalm 3:8. Salvation is of the Lord, Jonah 2:9. In Luke 10, a lawyer asked Jesus, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" In Acts 16, a jailer asked Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now the lawyer asked what he could do to inherit, and the jailer asked, "What shall I do? What must I do?" Not shall, but must. And when God says must, in other words, to Nicodemus, Jesus said, you must be born again. So the jailer said, what must I do to be saved? Now, we're talking about salvation. The word is used 44 times in the New Testament. 44 times you'll find the word salvation. Today we're studying in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith. Now watch this, and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Put on the breastplate of faith. Now how do I put on the breastplate of faith? You know, the breastplate in armor, if you should wear armor, the plate that covers your breast is certainly one of the most important parts of your armor, if not the most important. Of course, we know the brain is important, but if a bullet or an arrow or shrapnel should, or a sword should pierce your breast, you have your heart, your lungs, and of course the vital organs that are absolutely necessary for life. The breastplate. Now, the breastplate, according to the Word of God, is faith. In other words, put on the breastplate of faith and love. Faith and love. Now, where do I get faith and love? How do I get this breastplate? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. God is love, and Jesus said, the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. And Paul tells us that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Now, the breastplate of faith and love is the Word and Christ. And of course, Christ is the Word and the Word is Christ. Now, I made this statement on the last broadcast in the series. And I realize that all of you do not hear every program. I know that some of you must miss some. And I repeat a few things from time to time. I feel it's necessary. But I made this statement. If I can get believers grounded in this truth, namely, the Word is the Rock of Gibraltar, the chief cornerstone, the stone upon which we must build if we hope to enter heaven. The Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. If the devil, and he's trying. Now let me say this about some of the modern translations. There may be some good there are some verses I'm sure that are not damaged, and therefore they are good. But now wait, why should I get my good bread out of a garbage can? Now, I'm not saying that any Bible is a garbage can. Now, don't you misunderstand me, because I respect the Word of God very highly. And I think the most dangerous thing, play with rattlesnakes, forked lightning, and high-tension wires, but don't fool with God Almighty's Word. Now, you'll get killed and die in hell forever if you mess around and fool around with God's Word. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. Now, I was going to say this. There are more translations today than has ever been. New ones are coming out all the time. You go in many churches today with an old-fashioned Bible and you can't follow the preacher. You look around and you see all kinds of Bibles in the average church. Not all, but the average. And here's what the devil's doing. The devil is in this to this degree. he is bringing out, or he is prompting liberals and modernists, and of course there are some good translations in modern speech. I say some, maybe I should say one or two. Maybe I shouldn't say some, but just maybe I should say one or two good translations, and I don't agree with everything in these. I do not. I have one, well, in fact, I have two that I refer to, but I do not agree with, I don't study them, I refer to them. I do not read them, I refer to them. I do not preach out of them, I refer to them. They are a reference book for me, and ministers should study these modern translations and enlighten their people. You shouldn't advise your people to study them, but you should study them and advise your people and warn your people. Now, here's what's going to happen. With all the new translations, the unbeliever is going to scratch his head and say, well, back yonder, the forefathers, my grandfather and my great-grandfather, why, he just had a fit if anybody said anything about the King James Bible. Why, he said that is gospel, that is the Word of God. Now we have a dozen translations since the King James, and who is right and who is wrong, and can we believe anyone? That's what the unbeliever is going to say. And if the devil, now listen very carefully, listen to me very carefully. If the devil can get you to put a question mark around the Word of God, he don't care how many churches you join, how religious you are, how honest you are, how clean you are, how upright you are, how sincere you are. You may be an A number one in all things if he can get you to put a question mark around God's word, because he can use you to a greater, much greater extent than he can a dope pusher, a liquor seller, or a man that is a wretch in any field. He can use a religionist that puts a question mark around the Word of God to a greater advantage than any person on face earth. Because if he can get young people to put a question mark around the Bible, he'll damn them in spite of themselves and all else. Because it is a divine imperative to believe the Word of God before you can be saved. The Word brings faith. Faith brings grace. Grace is salvation. Grace in your heart, and grace is Jesus. So, we put on the breastplate of faith and love. That's the Word and God, or the Word and Jesus, or Jesus and the Word, because the Word is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word. The Word was made flesh. Now, Jesus, the man, sits at the right hand of God now, but the Word walked upon this earth. Jesus was the Word incarnate, John 1:14. Now, if I can get you to believe that and stand on that and stop standing on feelings, religion, baptisms, denominationalism, and man-made dogma and doctrine and programs, if I can get you to stand on the Word of God, then, brother, you'll be a soul winner. You'll be a soul winner. You must stand on the Word for salvation, for victory, for strength, and to be a soul winner, you must believe the Word. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2. And verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now, whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have two tremendous verses there. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn back to 1 Thessalonians. When I was in revivals, I used this first chapter, and I preached on the subject, what proof do you have that you're saved? Now, here in this epistle, we read, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Now, the church, the body of Christ, is elected. The body of Christ is chosen, the body. Individuals come by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now listen, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. Now Paul said, I preach the gospel. Now this is in 1 Thessalonians 1, 5, and I read 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. We'll go back to that in just a moment. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and ye became followers of us as of the Lord, having received, underline that, having received what? The right hand of church fellowship, having received a letter in good and regular standing, having received water baptism. You say, preacher, you're kind of sarcastic, aren't you? Oh, no, my friend, you're judging me. I'm not sarcastic. I've been baptized, immersed in water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I've been baptized according to the New Testament formula. Now, if you're going to write me a letter and tell me that I should be baptized in Jesus' name, give that postage to give it to the Salvation Army or to some Christian organization. Give it to somebody. Send it to a missionary. Don't buy a stamp to write me. Now, your letters are welcome, but don't write me and tell me that I have been baptized wrong. Because Jesus said, you go and you baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that's the way I was baptized. Now, I was ducked when I was a sinner. I joined the church when I was 13. The only change I had was a change of clothes. That's all. Went in a dry sinner, came out a wet sinner, changed clothes, and I was still a dry sinner. Worse off than before I was baptized. But then when God saved me, 6 years later, I united with the local assembly and God's minister baptized me in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit because I was born again. No, I'm not being sarcastic. No, but what did they receive? They received the word. They received the word. The word. And then ye were examples to all that believe. From the, your word went out to Macedonia and all other places. And then he said, you wait for the Son. Read the first 10 verses. Read the first 10 verses that give to us the account of the conversion of these people at Thessalonica, and then I read again 2 Thessalonians 2:13, the verse that mentions salvation. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, because, our beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Now, Paul is speaking here to Gentile believers. You see, in the beginning, God chose both Jew and Gentile, rich and poor, bond and free, to make up the New Testament church. And that is the great mystery hidden from eternity that God revealed unto the Apostle Paul, Jew and Gentile in one body. Now, he said, you were chosen to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. And what? How now? Belief of the truth. What is the truth? Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. That's John 17, 17. Jesus said, Thomas, I am truth. That's John 14, 6. Whereunto he called you by our gospel. He called you by our gospel. God said to Paul, Saul, then on the road to Damascus when God struck him down, he said, I'll make you a minister to the Gentiles. I will send you to the Gentiles. Now he said, and then in Romans, Paul said, I am a minister to the Gentiles. In chapter 11, he said, I'm a minister to the Gentiles, an apostle. And he said, I magnify my office. Now he said, God called you Gentile Thessalonians, God called you. Of course, there could have been some Jews in the assembly also, but he called the Gentiles through the message of the apostle to the Gentiles, and that message was the word of God, and the word of God, the gospel. Paul said, the definition of the gospel is in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and following, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus according to these scriptures, not according to the Baptists or the Methodists or the Catholics or the Lutherans or the Episcopalians, but according to these scriptures. Now, we know, according to the message of the gospel, that it is utterly impossible for anyone to be born again apart from hearing, believing, receiving the word of truth. And the word of truth is the gospel. Look at 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2, and I'm reading verse 10. 2 Timothy 2:10. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Salvation in Christ Jesus. Now, the text that we're using for this part of our Bible doctrine series, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, Paul is saying here to young Timothy, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Salvation in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Well, now, how do I get in Christ Jesus? We are born into the body of Christ, the New Testament church. Born. You do not join the New Testament church. You do not join the church of the living God. You do not join the one true church. You are born into the New Testament church. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born of God. So we receive the engrafted word which borns us into the body of Christ, the New Testament church. Father, save poor, lost church members who united with the church. They've been baptized in water, but they've never been washed in the blood. They've never received Jesus by faith. Save many souls today for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again. Now, Dr. Green has finished teaching us about Bible doctrine today, but we do have a few moments left, and I want to spend that time telling you about our Gift Offer R. Now, Gift Offer R is available to you in return for your donation to the Gospel Hour in the amount of $20 or more. It contains two books, one by my dad, one by my mother, and two messages preached by Dr. Green before a live audience, one in a church and one in the big green tent. Very, very powerful messages of great experience. If you've never heard Dr. Green preach before a live audience, you will be greatly blessed and enjoy his message. And as I said, all of this is available to you if you simply ask for Gift Offer R and send the donation to the Gospel Hour in the amount of $20 or more. Please send more if you can. We need your donations every day. And if you would like to order several sets of this offer after you hear more about it, you may certainly do so. Just tell me how many sets of Offer R you want, and please send the donation of at least $20 for each set that you order. And in return, I'm going to send you a message that is one of my dad's most powerful, moving messages. It's a message on hell. Now, as I said, this message will move you whether you're a Christian or a sinner. Now, he preached this at one of the Christmas revivals in the Tabernacle Baptist Church back in 1974. The music part of the service ran a little bit long, so the message did not quite finish on the tape when they recorded it at the church. But it's almost finished, and it is certainly worth you listening to. I wanted to let you know that before you ordered, but you will not be disappointed. Dad's message on hell. Then we have a message that he preached in the big green tent, the other side of the door. This is also on CD. It is in the tent campaign in Camden, New Jersey. Then we have a book by my mother, Everlasting Life, 104 pages long, containing that sermon and another sermon, The Sin Unto Death. And finally, we have a book by my dad, Our Great Salvation, 126 pages long, 7 messages, the title message, then Christ, His Riches, His Poverty, God's Great Forgetter, and so on. So to get all of this, just ask for Offer R and send your gift of at least $20. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.